moments ago. Right now, 33 of the top 50 books on Shamazon are Dr. Seuss. I'd be surprised if anything like this has ever, ever happened before up in here. Emphasis mine. What are people doing? They're going like, you can't ban Dr. Seuss. We'll buy every Dr. Seuss book that's ever been printed, you jerks. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the textbook classic definition of an iconoclasm. Now, since no one bothered to answer my question, and it was a thrilling question at the end of last hour, and every single one of you snoring and snoozing out there, what was the last major? You know what? I bet our buddy listening on shortwave in Nicaragua knows the answer. Welcoming all you listening anywhere across, all of you human beings listening across the universe on shortwave radio, 58 to the 50 kilohertz. Welcoming you. What was the last great iconoclasm? And what were the effects? Well, since most people don't even know what an iconoclasm is, I'll have to explain it to you. John Daniel Davidson has this at thefederalist.com. Where are you? I know it's in here. Yes, it is. I know it's in here. Yes, it is. I know it's in here. Ah, there we go. All the way down at the bottom. The pile is heavy today. The cancellation of Dr. Seuss should disturb you because you're next. And he talks about that this is a coming iconoclasm. So, what was the last great iconoclasm? What was the result of it? This really is a great question. And Mrs. O'Connell, who is not prone to throwing compliments my way early in the morning, even went, huh, never heard that, never thought of it like that, but yeah. This will make eminent total sense to you people. What was the last great iconoclasm previous to the Dr. Seuss iconoclasm? Let's go to our contestants and see anyone, if anyone has gotten the final Crusade Channel Jeopardy question correct. Let us go to Alaconus in the chat room. Alaconus says, what is the Latin liturgy? Ooh, very close, Alaconus. How much did you wager? Ooh, all of it. Sorry, you're out. Let us now go. Foghorn Leghorn says, King Dude, what is Chick-fil-A? Ah, no, close by that much, so close. And he wagered it all as well. Now, even though she didn't give us an answer, let's go to Shannon and see what that chick said. And the answer is, oh, no, sorry. You are all wrong now. All good answers. They're not iconoclasms. An iconoclasm destroys icons. Physical, visible, tangible icons. The last great iconoclasm, I say great, terrible, horrible iconoclasm was the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council. Eamon Duffy wrote a book about the sacking of the altars. This was during the time of Henry VIII. It happened again, 1968 to mid-80s, maybe to 1990. The destruction was almost complete. Nearly every church in the entire United States, if it was not a cathedral, and if the bishop didn't hang his hat there, and was not a tourist place or a landmark that was a basilica. Every single altar rail was destroyed. Communion rails destroyed. High altars smashed with sledgehammers. Beautiful statues thrown and burned, crushed. The Vatican Council's aftermath was the most horrific since the, quote, deformation, close quote, my empathy, since the 16th century. And look at the destruction morally and inside Catholicism, Catholic Church, and thus Christianity. As I say, we got a lot of listeners, almost half, that are evangelical, Protestant denominationals, and we all respect one another and your point of view, and then us when we talk about, well, you know, we do pray for you to convert. Most of you, even if you're Southern Baptists, which are supposedly Southern Baptists hate Catholics, you shouldn't hate anyone, dude, and certainly you shouldn't hate a Catholic. In any event, understand, you do not want the Catholic Church to go the way of the Edsel. It will not bear out well for the human race, and that means the end is near because Christ has pulled the plug and gone like, all right, second judgment's coming, you know what? The iconoclasm after the Second Vatican Council destroyed, it went after the beauty that is the faith and the practice of it. And Brother Andre and Marie and I talked about it yesterday. The sacred artworks are making a massive comeback because the iconoclasm tried to destroy them. Look at these hideous buildings that they built and called them Catholic churches. Heck, I used to go to a couple of them. Right here in Mandeville, Louisiana, is a beautiful, beautiful basilica. Our Lady of the Lakes, one of the oldest buildings in this entire parish here, is built just after the War of Northern Aggression. Magnificent. 170 feet tall all the way to the peak. Giant bell tower, the bells and whistles, everything. You know what they did during the iconoclasm? They destroyed the beautiful communion rail. They destroyed the pipe organ. They mauled it to pieces. Melted it and threw it on the curb to be thrown away. They destroyed the high altar, pulled it down with crowbars. It was almost like a mad orgy, a sex orgy. This was repeated. I think that Michael Matt at The Remnant actually has a film out about the iconoclasm and the gleeful, joyful, demonic destruction of the churches. And then what did they put up in their place? These hideous churches in the round. That was an iconoclasm. What was the end result? The sex revolution got a steroidal boost because the church went, hey, hands off, pal. The church withdrew and was withdrawing until somewhere around shortly after the big major priest scandal at the turn of the century or the millennia, and then something clicked. And people went, wait a minute, wait. This is not the Catholic Church. It isn't. This is some demonic perversion of Catholicism and the church, and it needs to stop. And many good men and many good women began working to restore the beauty. They began with the faith, and ultimately they made their way back because you had to find artisans, and the Holy Ghost had to work through those artisans, had to go, yeah, I want you to stop painting that porn and sculpting all that stuff that Hugh Hefner wants to buy, and I want you to get back to making sacred art. As a matter of fact, I'm not asking, I'm telling. The iconoclasm of the late 60s all the way through the mid-80s that attempted to destroy all of those beautiful, look, There was a woman that was on this show. Jeremy Nalewick, if you're listening, you know who I'm talking about. We tried to help her. We tried to save. What was the name of Church of Philadelphia? The people that were going there, and this church was built in the 1870s. Beautiful, unbelievable beauty. They wanted to turn it into an apartment complex. And Laurentius, St. Laurentius, and the faithful Laurentians, a group of maybe 100 souls out of used to be 2,000 families in this parish. That's right, Jeremy, in Fishtown. They lost. The iconoclasm came and it took out St. Laurentius. It's gone. It's a flea market or an apartment complex now. Absolute tragedy. Remember, one of the parishioners found a dude that had a drone, a camera drone, and right before they were having the vote with the Historical Society of Philadelphia to try to get the law to intervene and tell the diocese, you can't destroy that building. It's a historical monument. What did they do? What did they do? They flew that drone. They flew it past the 110-foot-tall stained glass windows that you need a scaffold to get to the top of. They show what was there. They show what was at the top of the bell tower. They did all that, and it was too late. That's the iconoclasm I'm talking about. So when John Daniel Davidson says Dr. Seuss has been canceled, some of his work has been deemed racist, and he can't have that. We can't have that on Tuesday. The entity that oversees the estate of Theodore Seuss Geisel announced it would no longer publish 6 of Geisel's books because they portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Among the works now deemed, then he gives the list of the works. There's not much point in quibbling over whether these and other such illustrations in the condemned Seuss books are in fact racist or bigoted, or whether Geisel held racist or xenophobic views. By all accounts, he was a liberal-minded and tolerant man who hated Nazis and, as a political cartoonist, mocked the anti-Semitism that was all too common in America during World War II. But context and nuance don't factor into the inexorable logic of the woke left. I see our friend from Mitter Mike from Restoring the Faith. Hang on a second, bro. You're going to want to talk about this. What's important to understand is that this isn't simply about banning 6 Dr. Seuss books. All of Geisel's work is, in the judgment of left-wing academia, an exercise in, quote, white supremacy, paternalism, conformity, and assimilation. It might be easy for conservatives to laugh that off as nonsense, but they shouldn't, because this really isn't even about Geisel. There's a predictable pattern to what we're seeing now. It's predictable because it has happened before in much the same way it's happening now. During China's Cultural Revolution of the 60s and 70s, the CCP, at the direction of Mao, called for the destruction of the 4 olds: old customs, old culture, old habits, old ideas. All of those stood in the way of Mao's socialist ideology, so they had to be destroyed. This is, in other words, an iconoclasm.